For some companies, smaller is better.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California and is supported by Reputation.com, monitoring, protecting, and improving reputations online while deleting personal data from the internet. Reputation.com.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson with The Morning Open, a look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. Coming up, some companies are adjusting to life in our new economy by getting smaller, some by splitting up. Also, can the middle class be saved? But first, where's Wall Street? Stocks are pretty much flat right now. The Dow is down 6 points at 11,394. The Nasdaq down about 0.1%, and same with the S&P 500. New home construction dropped to a three-month low last month, falling 5%, according to data this morning from the Commerce Department. Also, the big packaged food maker ConAgra reported lower than expected profits for the last quarter. The company, which makes Hunt's ketchup and Chef Boyardee food, said the rising cost of ingredients is making it difficult to keep up. ConAgra also said it is dropping its $5 billion bid to buy Ralcor, which makes Post cereals. It's just the latest company to decide that now is maybe not the time to expand. Let's talk about that with our regular Tuesday analyst, Julie Neiman, who is with Smith Moore & Company. She's with us live from St. Louis. Good morning, Julie.
Morning, Jeremy.
So why are companies like ConAgra deciding not to buy other companies right now? It seems like it would be a good time to get a discount.
It would be, but a hostile takeover is very costly, and ConAgra just basically decided it's not worth it.
Well, what about other companies like the manufacturer Tyco, which said that it's splitting into three publicly traded companies, or like Netflix, which is sort of splitting up into two parts? What's the advantage of splitting?
Well, spinoffs, you can put those into three categories. You've got the really well-run companies like Tyco, Fortune Company, ITT, ConocoPhillips, all have very clear line business lines that can stand alone and get better valuation in the stock market. Then you've got the category of who let the dogs out, and that's Hewlett-Packard, Motorola, Fiat. Hewlett-Packard's getting rid of their PC business, cell phones for Motorola, and Fiat, they're separating cars and trucks, but those are bad businesses any way you look at it. And then the third category is, what were they thinking? Is somebody hopefully going to buy them? That's Netflix with the mail and the instant, Kraft separating snacks and groceries, Sara Lee separating U.S. from international, and Ralcorp generics from cereals. It just, you're trying to figure out why in the world does it make any sense to do it.
Well, quickly, Julie, just to take this to the logical next step, is it better for a company to be small and nimble in this economy?
Well, for now, this is a cycle is going through this phase right now where you're going smaller. When a company's fat with cash and can't figure out any constructive way of using the money, oh, say like giving a big dividend to shareholders, you go out and do something stupid like buying a company at a big premium. Now we're in the shedding the weight, getting lean and mean. And history has shown acquisitions don't make any money. Buying competitors never works. The only thing that does work is when you've got an acquisition that's a bolt-on or a tuck-in. So a word of advice, if you announce a merger for your company, shareholders should take the money and run for the exit.
Julie Neiman, analyst with Smith Moore & Company. Thanks, Julie.
You bet.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by IBM, working to help mid-sized businesses become the engines of a smarter planet. Learn more at ibm.com/engines. And by MassMutual, offering retirement and 401k plans to businesses for more than 60 years. MassMutual.com/retirestrong. Marketplace Innovation Reporting is supported by the 2011 Jaguar XJ. Learn more at a local dealer or at jaguarusa.com.
The Federal Reserve kicks off a meeting today in Washington and is expected to announce it's shifting some of its investments in order to bring down interest rates on things like mortgages and car loans that could get the middle class borrowing and spending again. Well, it's the future of the middle class that concerns Don Peck. He is a writer for The Atlantic, and he's got a big story in the September issue called Can the Middle Class Be Saved? Don Peck, good morning.
Good morning.
Well, how do you define the middle class, first of all?
Well, I mean, I think that many college graduates today define themselves as middle class and are very worried. They should be because of the economic weakness we're seeing. But really what I was looking at was what I call the non-professional middle class, people with a high school diploma but not a college degree. These are the people that are really struggling in the U.S. today.
And what is the main cause of it?
Well, you know, even before the recession, this was a group that was under siege because of the technological substitution of labor and because of global offshoring. And what we saw in this recession is the acceleration of both of those trends. Companies pulled forward offshoring decisions, restructuring decisions that otherwise would have taken years. And high school graduates have really suffered as a result.
I think a lot of people think that in order to succeed in the future economy, you'll have to have a college degree. But you write that that might not actually be the case for everyone.
Well, I think we should support college education for anyone who wants it and try to widen it. But the fact is that only 30% of American adults, even young adults, have a college degree. And that number has been increasing extremely slowly. I think we need to find ways to build pathways into the middle class for people who finish high school but aren't necessarily cut out for college.
Do you think that there's some view from the sort of Donna Reed 1950s that a middle class family is supposed to be able to have a big house in the suburbs and a car and maybe take a vacation every once in a while, but that in fact, in the future or even now, that's not the middle class anymore. That's just the rich.
Well, I think it would be a shame if that were the case. You know, we can quibble about house sizes and the like. I think houses probably got a little too big for a while. But I think an important part of the American idea is a prosperous, upwardly mobile middle class. And my worry is that absent aggressive and really wide-ranging action to rebuild our middle class over time, you know, we could be left with more of a two-tier society. And I think that would be, you know, unfortunate and not a country that many Americans really would want to live in.
Don Peck of The Atlantic, his new book is Pinched, How the Great Recession Has Narrowed Our Futures and What We Can Do About It. Don Peck, thanks so much.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
And finally, to a passenger train in India that went the wrong way for 18 hours and ended up hundreds of miles away from its destination. The problem? Officials accidentally used the station code BSP instead of BBS when they were setting the train's course. One passenger told the Times of India, "Though the journey was agonizing, we thank our stars that the train did not run into another train." In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Don't Ask, Don't Tell goes away on Tuesday, but people discharged under the policy wanting to get back into the service isn't going to be all that easy.
It's not the Navy that it was 10, 15, 20 years ago. Retention across the military is high. The Marine Corps has a waiting list to get in.
I'm Kai Rizdal. Big lines, long waits. Next time on Marketplace from APM, that's American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.